there's a reading for the Easter season that I think is very important for this question of faith and reason. And I said that in my work here on YouTube, one of the major objections that comes up is precisely along these lines, that what we call faith is just unreasonable. It's just old pre-scientific nonsense. Believing in Bronze Age mythology. It's falling for any old fairy story, etc., right? That's all faith is. It's irrational. Well, this story now, toward the end of John's Gospel, about doubting Thomas, I think sheds a lot of light on this issue. Let me just read a little bit. You know it well, but I'll read a little bit in the beginning. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So Jesus came in the room, but Thomas wasn't there. So the other disciples said to him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the nail marks, put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Okay, the famous doubting Thomas. Now, what do we make of this? Well, this proves, you know, that questions are bad, that you should just have faith and not ask questions. No, that's the wrong way to think about it. The Catholic tradition loves questions. I'll give you one indication why. Mary hears the annunciation from the angel. What does she say? "How is this possible? For I've had no relations with a man." She's asking a very good, honest question. Mary also, we hear, pondered these things in her heart. She took in the date of revelation, but didn't just dumbly take it in. She reflected on it, asked questions about it, pondered it in her heart. It makes her the model of all theology. Or think of the namesake of this ancient figure. His namesake from the Middle Ages, Thomas Aquinas. Read any two pages of Thomas Aquinas, anything he ever wrote, what do you find? Question upon question upon question. Including in the beginning of the Summa Theologiae, this famous question, Utrum Deus Sit, which means whether there's a God. Now I submit to you, if you can ask that question, you can ask any question in theology. The Catholic tradition never says don't ask questions. It loves questions, welcomes them. Here's the reason why. We don't hold to the fide sola principle, which is a Reformation principle, by faith alone. We hold to the fides et ratio tradition, faith and reason. Or to go back to St. Anselm, fides querens intellectum, faith seeking understanding. We don't drive a wedge between faith and reason. We don't say you have to put reason to sleep to have faith. No, no. See, here's the thing. Authentic faith is never infra-rational. I mean, lower than reason. That's credulity. That's superstition. What everyone on YouTube is always going after. I agree with you. I would say to my YouTube friends, I agree with you. I'm against superstition too. If you're accepting, you're surrendering something now that's infra-rational, forget it. That's childish. Faith isn't that though. Authentic faith is, as I've said before, supra-rational. It's a surrender, yes, but on the far side of reason. Reason having done all its work, now there's a surrender to a reality which I can't, even in principle, control, but one that beguiles me from the far side of reason, if I can put it that way. Now, you use a lot of examples. The best one, the best analogy for this is falling in love. So when you are attracted to someone, so a young man is attracted to a young woman, he'll watch her. He'll maybe ask her friends about her. He'll investigate. Maybe he'll Google her name and find out where she was educated and her background, etc. If he's like Sherlock Holmes, you know, very observant and very skilled in deduction, he might be able to determine a lot about her based on that. But he'll never know her heart, really, until he sits down with her and she, of her own free will, opens her heart and opens her mouth and speaks. At which point he has to make a decision. Do I believe her? Do I surrender to this revelation beyond anything I can grasp on my own? And see, that's why we speak of someone falling in love. If all you're doing is controlling the process, well, you're never going to fall in love. You know, you might be a acquaintance of that person, but you'll never be an intimate of that person. So with faith, there's a lot we can know about God on the basis of our reflection, our observation of the world, our philosophical musings. You know, read Thomas Aquinas. You'll find out all you can know about God philosophically. But then finally, there's a surrender on the far side of reason. And that's authentic faith, you know. And that's why the Catholic Church never puts questions to bed, but it resists a rationalism that is aggressive and controlling. Now, with that in mind, go back to Didymus, to St. Thomas, right? Listen again to him. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Is it wrong to question? No. But is it wrong to be so aggressive in one's rationalism that one wants utterly to control the situation? Yeah. That's a problem. That's a problem. Because you'll never get God that way. God can't be gotten that way with our grasping, self-asserting minds. In that sense, faith goes beyond reason. Doesn't put it to sleep. Doesn't negate it or marginalize it. But it goes beyond it, you know. And that's part of the story of Thomas. Because the Lord, when he comes back, and he appears, he says to Thomas, well, good, put your finger in the wounds, put your hand in my side. But then he adds, blessed are those who have not seen and believe. See, who's really blessed? Those who don't have to control it with their rationalistic minds, but who are willing to surrender on the far side of reason. And just a last thought about this. I think it's very important that Thomas didn't see the Lord when he was away from the 12, right? He's away from the apostolic band. But when he comes back with them, that's when he sees the Lord. What's the lesson? The lesson is we get the Lord in the church. It's in the community of the church, that collection of believers in Jesus across space and time, where we understand him, where we get him in the fullest sense. One of the ways not to get him is to stay outside the church. And again, here I think of a lot of my friends on YouTube, you know, even those so-called or self-professed agnostics and atheists, who stubbornly come back to my website over and over again and ask religious questions and challenge what I'm saying. Well, see, they're, whether they admit it or not, they're hungry and thirsty for God. It's obvious in every word they write, you know. But the problem is they're seeking Christ. They're seeking God apart from the church. And what's going to happen is your questions and answers are going to get skewed. The best way to see him, so you're able to say with St. Thomas, my Lord and my God. The best way to do that is to stay within this rich, Spirit-led interpretive tradition that we call the church.